Hey everyone, this is Sylvia Myers. Have you ever struggled running marketing campaigns that don't convert? Or perhaps have you ever poured lots of money into your marketing and branding only to have your competitors walk out with a sale? Unfortunately, I've come across many businesses that have this very same problem. But guess what? You're just about to listen to a live recording of my recent talk that addresses exactly that. How to improve the conversion of your campaigns and how to make sure that you close more sales and don't spend money to advertise for your competitors. Enjoy, and if you like the podcast, check out more of my content at sylviamyers.com.
This is a live recording on the 11th of July at General Assembly, Sydney.
But big thanks tonight to Sylvia. So Sylvia Myers, who's our speaker tonight, and she's spoken once before. She's going to be talking about customer journeys, and she's a customer experience consultant and specialist, has her own coaching program on the topic. So feel free to hit her up after the talk, or we'll also send out I think there's going to be a recording of today's talk as well, so it's going to be available in the future for you if you need to reference anything. But otherwise, thanks very much to Sylvia. So cheers.
Hello. Thank you, guys. It's really great to be here and share some of the knowledge with like-minded professionals. So thank you so much for having me today, and I hope that some of the things we're going to talk about today will add value to you. Great. So what we're going to talk about today are customer journeys, and we're going to talk about them because they help us solve some of the key problems that we come across in our businesses and with digital marketing campaigns as well. Yeah, so a couple of the points that I'm going to talk about today is really spending lots of money with a very little conversion. So that's one of the key problems that we see in digital marketing and that customer journeys can help with. And the second one is really about creating great campaigns, generating great interest, but actually they're not being able to make the sale. And I've seen this quite often with few clients out there, and that is basically one of the reasons why we need to talk about customer journeys and understand how they can help us address these issues. So guys, over the past 12 years or so, I've been quite fortunate to work with some of the biggest brands on the market, and I learned a thing or two there. But really what I want to share with you today is some of the key points that I've learned with my clients as to how they build customer journeys and what are some of the key elements we need to have in there. But let's talk a little bit about why do we need customer journeys as such, and what actually are they? So the reason why customer journeys came in is because the way we shop has completely changed since the iPhone. So what we used to do, we used to go into the store and we used to have a look at what there is in the store. We would compare a few products, get lots of ideas. We would get an understanding what's in there, and then we would make a decision right there in the store. Sometimes we would need to go back one more time, but we would still make the decision at some point in the store. Now, since the iPhone, this has completely changed. Google has done some research, and in 2016, it was only 12% of people who were actually making the decision to purchase in store. Majority of the decisions to buy or not to buy were actually happening online. Now, when we say online, there are particularly four stages that people go through when they're making that decision online. So first, we kind of get some sort of an awareness. We get some product or service into the scope of our awareness, and it's only then when we start proactively searching for that. So it's at this stage, typically, when your SEO comes into place. Now, the third step is, and this is really where the decision happens, and that's kind of one of the most important steps is people then look for kind of credibility. So they look at reputation, you know, they compare two brands or kind of almost, you know, the small amount of so-called winners or the shortcuts, and they look at customer reviews. And that decision is basically made here, but that transaction to purchase is basically nothing else, just a transaction. And that can happen in-store or online. So where you see this happening quite often is, for example, stores like JB Hi-Fi, right? You see someone popping into JB Hi-Fi, and 5 minutes later, they're walking out with a laptop for $3,000. Now, you don't really think that they made the decision right there on the spot, right? That decision has been made before. And this is the reason why we need customer journeys so much, because all customer journey is basically just the collection of the steps that your customers take along the way when they're interacting with your brand or a business. So it's basically just that collection of those steps, but because it's happening online, there is no human interaction. And so we no longer have that salesperson who can kind of gauge, you know, what is this person going to do? What type are they? And so as a digital marketer, you really need to understand those steps, what your customers are going through, so that you can be there when they're making decision, and so that you can influence that the way that you want. So I'm conscious of the fact that majority of you guys here are digital marketers and some are business owners. So you, all of you would have heard of customer journeys before, and you would have heard the basics, you know, of what needs to be in there or the basics of how to build them. So that's not what we're going to talk about today. So what we're going to talk about are the three key points which I found through work with my clients that are really the most important ones to include in your journeys to make sure that you maximize return on investment and really get your campaign and your business to the next level. So the first point is that you must really understand what drives your customers' decisions. You must understand what drives your customers' decisions so that you understand how they're actually going to decide to buy or not to buy your product or service. So let me give you an example. A couple of years ago, I was working with a bank, and it was one of the big banks, and naturally, as you know, we know, banks have quite a bit of money. And so they had this amazing, flashy campaign that actually wasn't converting. It wasn't bringing them any customers. And they had a particular problem with a group or a segment that they were calling young adults. So these were mainly people who were still at uni or they were just fresh out of uni. And, you know, they had all of these. The campaign was basically set up around, you know, cool gadgets and engaging these students and these customers. And, you know, even that small percentage of the customers that they managed to convert or they managed to have them open an account, they actually weren't using those accounts. And they didn't understand why. So basically my job was to help them figure out why was that. And so when we dig deeper down into understanding what actually was driving their decisions, we understood three key things. So first of all, these guys were quite young. So, you know, they were millennials and the generation after, whatever that generation is referred to as. But basically, they want to be connected all the time. You know, they want to have a cool app. They want to be connected. But, you know, at that point, each of the big banks already had an app. They had an app, you know, and each of the apps was cool. So that wasn't really the main differentiating point, or that wasn't really the main deciding factor. But what we found later on was also that these young adults really cared about withdrawing free cash overseas. So actually what we found out through research was that they were losing, this bank was losing lots and lots of customers to credit unions because credit unions were offering free withdrawals overseas, you know, as simple as that. And basically without putting in any money on marketing campaigns, credit unions were essentially, you know, taking the customers away. Now, the next thing that these young professionals really cared about and was influencing majorly their decision point was some sort of contribution to the society. Now, of course, with a bank, it's quite difficult to change your perception, isn't it? And, you know, these days banks don't really have that best reputation out there. But what the bank was not communicating was that actually each and every one of their employees was getting 1 week a year for community service. And each and every one employee was actually doing that community service. So you multiply that by thousands of employees and you have a huge community impact. Now, do you think that this marketing campaign contained any of that? Of course it didn't, right? And that was driving those customers' decisions. So you see, the thing is that when companies build customer journeys, quite often they think that they're following customers' decisions. But instead of following customers' decisions, what they're doing is they're basically building a set of what we call touch points. So if I take this example and make it a little bit more specific, perhaps that would help you understand a little bit better. So that whole campaign for young adults was basically based on the idea that, you know, there is going to be a cool lounge at the campus and the student is going to walk in. They're going to get a free coffee, put in their email address. You know, there is going to be free Wi-Fi. Straight away, they download the app. And once they download the app and open their free bank account, you know, they're hooked, they're a customer, and they're in. So that was kind of the set of touch points that the bank set up. And, you know, they thought that that was really going to work. But instead, the decision-making process of a student was completely different. You know, you just had a student who rocks up at the campus. I'm cold. I don't have any money. What do I do? Oh, there is a new lounge. Let me go to the lounge. Oh, there's free coffee and free food. Let me have that. That's awesome. Free Wi-Fi. Yes, score. And, you know, and then the student sits there, you know, uses the free Wi-Fi and is thinking, oh, how about the trip to Thailand I'm going to take with my mate over Christmas? Yeah, but last time I got done for the feast, so I'm not doing that again. So let me just use this free Wi-Fi to see what else is out there, right? And bang, like you basically have a customer using your resources, using your campaign, and just going completely off to your competitor. And unfortunately, you know, I would love to say that this is an exception, but this basically happens all the time. Now, we actually have a term for that in the world of customer experience. And in the world of customer experience, we call that customer approach or customer decision approach, we call that outside in. So that's basically from the customer's point of view, you know, what the customer would do in this moment, how would they decide, you know, what would they do, where would they go? It's really putting yourself in the customer's shoes and following that. Now, instead, what lots of businesses do is they build a set of touch points from what we call the inside-out point of view. So, you know, those are the micro things like, you know, where do I put the table? Is it going to be left or right? Am I going to put the ball in here? But if the customer doesn't even walk into the house, they're not even going to care, like, what's where. It's not even going to come to the picture, right? So when you build customer journeys, you know, please, please, please always make sure you build them from a customer point of view, so from the outside-in point of view, because that's going to have a dramatically different result on your campaign, and ultimately is going to drive completely different results for your business. Does that make sense, guys? Are you with me? All right, great. So, second thing we really need to make sure we incorporate into our customer journeys is that understanding of customers' significant events. So what are these significant events that are important to my customer? And most importantly, what are these customers' emotions connected to those events? Are they happy? Are they sad? Are they excited? Is there lots of pain? Is there friction? And then last thing with that is, you know, from a point of digital marketer, well, what is my opportunity here? How can I add value? How can I make them more happy? How can I make them more excited? Or ideally, how can I remove the pain? How can I remove the friction and help them turn pain into pleasure? So perhaps it might help if I use an example. So for example, you might have a customer, your ideal customer might be a person like Sally. Bless you. So Sally is a young professional. She is what you would call a go-getter. You know, she's super ambitious. And she could also be classified as what we call a high net worth individual. Now, Sally got her first major promotion at the age of 25. She was super excited, right? She was so proud of herself. And, you know, she went to celebrate with her family. And, you know, she felt really, really great. Now, she was also really happy about the pay rise that she got, only to find out at the end of the month that actually the pay rise put her into a higher tax bracket and she's not getting nearly as much more money as she thought. But anyway, Sally is still overly quite happy and, you know, she's getting along on her life journey. And the next thing is that at the age of 29, she finally saves money for her deposits. So she buys her place and she's super excited because finally she can move out of home and she can live in her own place. And, you know, she is just super excited. But there is also a pain that's connected to that event. You know, in the heated market, Sally just went a little bit crazy at the auction, you know. She just bid a little bit too much or a little bit more than she was really prepared to do. Now, as a result, obviously, she has a little bit of a cash flow problem. You know, she can't afford a bed, so she sleeps on a mattress on the floor. But, you know, she's independent and that's what counts. So after that, you know, a few years later, at the age of 32, Sally gets another really big promotion. But at this stage, guess what? She's completely fed up with the corporate world. She, you know, no longer cares about the promotions. They're always a little bit, you know, too little, a little bit too late. And she is just like, you know what? Like, I'm stuck in this rat race. I just totally want to get out. So now the reason why I'm telling you this is because imagine if you are a buyer's agent, if you are a real estate agent, or perhaps if you sell furniture to people who move to their first place, or you know, if you are an NGO that's looking for, you know, refugees that are running out of the corporate world. Like, all of these milestones are extremely important to you, because what you want to understand is what those milestones are, what is the pleasure and pain your customer is feeling, and then from that point onwards, figure out how can you add value? How can you take advantage of that? Or I guess advantage is maybe a strong word, but how can you obviously address that? You know, how can you add value and help your customer? How can you make them feel happier or reduce the pain and clearly make sure that you have a campaign set up around that that will actually help you convert? All right, so the next and final, the third point that you need to incorporate in your customer journeys is you really need to understand the end-to-end relationship your customer has with your business. Now, the reason why you need to do that is because what happens quite often is that businesses throw a massive campaign, you know, they do all of these flashy things, you know, they throw lots of money on their customers, you know, they put out all of these gadgets, you know, free gadget is just going out, you know, anything cool. And then quite often what happens, you get a customer who takes the gadgets, says, thank you, that was free, oh, that's amazing, thank you so much, see ya. And that basically happens all the time, right? We live in a world where we just want to bribe our customer just a little bit more, just have this too, and this is free as well, and, you know, and it just doesn't always work. And the reason why it doesn't always work is because of the same reason how our customers make decisions and buy online. You see, what happens is that as a customer, a product or a service comes into your awareness, then you're proactively searching for it, but then it comes decision time. Now remember, in that decision time, what we are doing, we're checking reviews. So, you know, in the past, we used to have departments that were working in silos. You know, you had marketing, and marketing was only responsible for marketing. Then you had the sales team, you know, the sales team was closing the sale. And then, of course, at the end, that's customer service, you know, that's nothing to do with me. There is customer service, there is the operations or fulfillment team, and they are basically delivering that service or the product, whatever that is, to the customer. And it used to work really, really well, but because of online reviews, it doesn't anymore. So no longer it's just really about creating an amazing campaign, but it's really about understanding that end-to-end relationship. A few years ago, I worked with a client who was a B2B software provider. And one thing they were really, really good at, they were great at selling. They were great at selling and they were great at marketing. So, you know, they put on all of these latest campaigns, you know, different tools, and they were really great at creating those campaigns. But at some point, it started to fire back on them because they couldn't deliver what they promised. So what happened? They started to get really bad reviews, and obviously their conversion rate just kept dropping off. Now, clearly, you would think that they would address that, right? So clearly, you would think that they would address their fulfillment and, you know, the service they were providing so that they can improve their reviews and improve their conversion as a result. But as I said before, these guys were really great at sales and marketing, and so, you know, they decided instead to invest more money into sales and marketing and pump that up. And so what happened? You know, the same problem just got bigger. You know, it became the same problem on steroids, right? So basically, for a little while, of course, you had more leads and more conversions coming through. But because they couldn't deliver on what they promised, it was actually firing back to them. And the problem continued, just got bigger. So the learning from that is really that whilst we are still in departments, and particularly in bigger organizations, we're still working in silos in a way. We're still working, you know, in a marketing team, and sometimes it's marketing team and then digital team and then something else team and, you know, something super similar and then customer experience and whatever that is. You know, it's no longer just about creating an amazing campaign, but it's really about understanding that end-to-end experience your customer is going through. Because only when you understand that, you will actually be able to add the most value with your digital marketing. You know, your campaign might not end up being as flashy as you maybe perhaps would do otherwise, but as long as you manage your customers' expectations and they will give you a good review because you manage that, your conversions will go up. Okay, so just to recap, the way we purchase, the way we buy has completely changed. We used to buy in stores. Now we make that, or we used to decide to, we used to make the decision in stores, but now we make that decision online. As a result, digital marketing is much more important than ever before, but it's not just about selling, but it's also about being there and understanding your customer, because that human interaction is no longer there. You can no longer suss out your customer and, you know, pull out a different sentence based on how they behave or based on how you see their response. So as a result, there are three key things you need to incorporate into your customer journeys. First, you need to look at your customer journeys from the decision-making point of view. What are the decisions your customers are making? What drives that? We also call this outside-in point of view, so customer point of view. And then based on that, you want to obviously set up your touch points, your inside-out point of view to address that. Second, you really want to understand the key milestones in your customer's life that are connected to your brand or to whatever you're selling. You really need to understand that, because you need to understand when your customers are feeling pain and when your customers are feeling happy, so that you can add on the pain and reduce, add on the pleasure and reduce the pain. And so you want to understand what that opportunity is for you, for yourself. How can you help them so that you can generate a better conversion for yourself? And last, we need to understand that end-to-end experience for our customer. We need to understand what happens before us and what happens after us, so that we can create campaigns where we really manage our customers' expectations and therefore, after the conversion, deliver to customers' expectations and as a result, get great reviews, which in turn will help us with our conversion. So guys, that's basically all for me. We're gonna do questions just in a second. But in the meantime, if you do need the copy of the recording or the slides or any of the notes, then you know, just put your name down here and we'll send it to you tomorrow. All right, any questions?
Thank you so much for listening. I hope this live recording of my recent talk gave you some good ideas on how you could dramatically improve profitability of your marketing campaigns. If you like the podcast, check out more of my content at sylviamyers.co or find me on Facebook at sylviamyers.biz.